it's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day. That's right. Monday through Friday, you'll have us here in the afternoon driving home with you. Because you know what? You know, afternoon's the best time because then you can just chill. You can relax. It goes long. You just sit in your driveway at home. A lot of people do. You know, I tell you, you get it, you know, like morning show, you go in with the morning. I got so many complaints. You know, I'd say, yeah, we're going to get right to this when we get back. And they'll sit there. They'll be late for work waiting for me. And I didn't. I had to start writing it down, man, what I was saying I was going to do. Or you get in trouble. You know, we got good shows. I'm telling you, we're getting you behind the scenes of what's really going on. Not what some, you know, what are these guys? I don't even know who they are. These talking heads that come out and tell you what everybody means when they go out. Well, let's see. We came unarmed this time. Well, what they're trying to say, you know, they're saying they came unarmed this time. That's what they're saying. So I'm going, you know, we have people that are actually there face to face with the man and in so many different ways. Many different levels. Now, what Samitaro has is a concept with republicmedia.tv that if you provide content, he will provide a structure for it to be available for people to go watch and let the free market decide how popular it is.
Absolutely. You know what, Ernie? That's a great way of putting it. It really is. If you're
because that's what we do at Freedom's stuff. Phoenix.
we don't have you up there yet. We need to. We have about 55. Good quality independent channels that we're looking to add to the site here in our next big push. Like I told you, I mean, we've been around, I've been doing this for a long time, but the website as you know it now really just didn't launch until June 22nd. So, and we're all, you know, we're all volunteers. We're not making money here. We're trying to do this as best we can with the time that we have. So it takes time. It's a pretty complicated process, and just keeping up on it is amazing.
Yeah, I tell you what you can do. Where we have a lot of stuff that we haven't really started pushing the video yet. We just got finished building out and getting all. We still got a little bit more to do with the radios too, because we're going Hollywood. I mean, we got all the goodies, you know. So we're making sure we're set. But the thing is that we have 4409. If you go YouTube.com and you put in 4409, he has tons of videos that a lot of those come out of here. That's a channel for you. That's a very, go check his rankings and his ratings and what his I think he has over 8,000 subscribers.
That's awesome.
I mean, you know, you need to get the boy on.
There we go, man. Well, you know, I appreciate the tip. If the crew, Brandon, if you're listening, look the guy up. Let's hook him up. Thank
you.
Yeah,
I can't believe you haven't done it yet. Well, we'll get some content for you. Matter of fact, the young man had sat in from a morning show this morning, so I can go to boat court. Yeah, that's another story. You know, Andrew, he did a big thing on vaccine, and he and his wife, they are really into this nutrition thing because she's diabetic. And has to be very careful about her diet and pays attention to this stuff. And the more research you start to do, you go, holy moly, man, they're probably ones that caused it. You know, I mean, it's just you take all these elixirs and these young kids now. It's just my daughter. You know, I got the papers right in front of me. I got, you know, I was going to do this as a show and I'm just preparing. I'll do this as a show later in the week or next week. But she is a medical coder. You know, this HIPAA thing, you know, all the doctors send in and they got to put in the right code to get paid by the insurance, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, here's what they're saying about this new vaccine, the swine flu stuff, you know. Well, let's see. This is how you submit it. This is how you get paid for it. This is how. And the bottom line is this. They don't pay for it. This is what's going on. You go to Walgreens and they're doing this. $24.99. Come in, $24.99. $24.99. Get your shot, $24.99. And they're doing this to where now they're doing drive-thru. You don't even get out of your car. You know, it's like going up to McDonald's drive-thru, stick a needle in your arm, have a nice day. And what the reason is because it's free. They get $25. How fast can I stick somebody?
Wow.
That's good money if you can get it. I'm just like, here, give it all to me. I'll poison my friends and neighbors, you know, for $25 a piece. I can do that.
Ernie, I have been hearing that healthcare providers are getting this for free. That's what they're saying. They're distributing it to schools for free here in Pennsylvania.
No, they're making them in New York.
You mean that they're giving this for free to Walgreens, who is then turning around and selling it for $24.95?
Well, no, the way it looks here, the way the coding is, it looks like what's happened is that the doctor cannot charge for the actual vaccine, just the administering of it, because they're getting it for free.
Okay. So they're still getting the service fee. They're still making money off of it.
Yeah, it's like, let me see, where does it go here? Da 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 da. Payment. CMS intends to pay you the same amount for reimbursement for the vaccines, yada, yada, yada. The reimbursement varies by state, but ranges from about $18 to $25, says Jay Neely, coding consultant in Atlanta. You can find your state's rate at yada, 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 yada bonus. Although Medicare normally pays for just one vaccination per year, it will pay for both a seasonal flu and the H1N1 vaccine. Okay, so they're adding this on Medicare instead of, okay, we'll pay for one. No, this one, we'll pay for that one too. Okay. So this is, it's being subsidized heavily by the government. They want to take this, no matter what the studies are, no matter what the risk, no matter what the need, no matter what the, you know, doctors are coming. This morning I listened to part of their show. They have doctors on, you know, the major news channels going, look, even if you get this flu, it's not as bad or long lasting as the regular one. And they're forcing all this stuff on you. It's just a money making thing. It's like V for Vendetta.
It's incredible. And you know, when you said to me, Ernie, how did that make me feel, you know, going to Pittsburgh and seeing the police state that up close, you know, it puts things into perspective, because it wasn't just about the massive amount of police that were arrayed against the anarchists there, the handful of anarchists in Lawrenceville. You know, it was... You could see into the future. You could see where this is going. You know, here we are in Lawrenceville, back to the G20, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, the anarchists are marching through the streets up. I believe they were going down Liberty Avenue, Penn. I'm not sure which it was now. And we got ahead of them. We kind of ran out a couple blocks ahead because we wanted to get behind the police lines and see what was going on down there with the cops. And this is where I was actually able to do some live broadcasting for about an hour down
Samatar behind the lines.
Yeah, man, it was cool. I mean, we were walking right up to these cops, man. It was really cool. I found a guy that was had a nice little iMac with a webcam, and he was running a live feed. And I asked him, I said, listen, I'm a professional. I'm broadcasting. This is what I do. Do you mind if I host your feed here? And so I got my guys on the phone. They put it up on the front page of republicmedia.tv. We sent out an email, and we went live with this guy. It was really cool. And we were walking right up to the cops and, like, look, you know, asking them where they're from, talking with them, looking at their gear, analyzing their gear, you know, figuring out where they were from. You know, this is when we were seeing the unmarked police with no badges on their shoulders, carrying automatic weapons, you know, the whole
the riot gear that they had. The one thing I saw, it was brand spanky new riot gear, all the goodies. Do they got to turn that back in, or they get to take that home with them?
It's a toy, Ernie.
I mean, but who has that? They had to go, you know, somebody was dishing that stuff out. That's a whole nother contract.
Well, that's one of that again, that bullhorn video. If you go to republicmedia.tv, you got to see this. The next day, well, back to Lawrenceville to finish this, because this marked a precedent in American history where the first time that an LRAD, a long-range acoustic device, it's a crowd dispersal device that's mounted on an armored car. We heard about this in the news. It was developed to control crowds, break up riots, and handle insurgents at long distances. Along with that microwave weapon, this came out, a couple of years ago, that it was used in Afghanistan and Iraq overseas. this was the first time that it was used against American citizens on the streets of an American city. And, you know, I got to tell you, man, it pretty much was not fun. There's this armored car from Illinois. A lot of armored cars from Illinois. That was interesting.
Chicago.
You can see the video, and a soldier up there, and they get up there by order of the Pennsylvania or by order of the Pittsburgh police chief. This has been deemed an unlawful assembly. Now, is that the music? Okay.
No, we'll start from there. It's a good place to start when we come back. It has been deemed by the man that this is an unlawful assembly. That First Amendment thing, right to assemble, that doesn't count. Because it doesn't. You know, because
they got weapons.
Because we got LRADs. We'll talk about more when we come back here and declare your independence in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Solution, what might that solution be? I think we'll try a little bit of freedom here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day. We got Sam Attar on there from republicmedia.tv. And let me tell you guys real quick how you declare your independence. It's real simple. You go like this. You go, I declare my independence. And you know what you don't need? What don't you need, Sam? You don't need a government form. That's what you don't need. You know, there's no form to fill out. You just do it. Now,
you know what else you need, and this is so important? You do need a sense of humor about all this nonsense.
You'll go crazy.
If you don't have a sense of humor about life and about where we are as a people, and you can't appreciate the absurdity of all of this, then you know what? You're just gonna get mired down in the muck and the because it's depressing. It can get scary.
You know,
a horrible situation that we're in, but at the same time, it's so enlightening and uplifting to be here at this time in our nation's history. Well, as history unfolds before us, where we are empowered, Ernie, to set this country on the path that we know to be right again. You know. That's incredibly exhilarating, and I'm happy. I'm happy to be part of this.
I'm very satisfied that we are able to have the impact that we do. But I'm telling you, yeah, I started feeling just, you know me, I'm an upbeat kind of, you know, positives, love, illusion kind of guy, you know. And my thing is that I have been, in the last couple of weeks, starting to feel a sense of doom. I mean, you know, I got a grandchild that just born this, that, and everything, and I'm going, wow, what's it? You know, something's not right. I got all these reasons, you know, to feel this way or something, but I'm going, there's something wrong, and it was my diet. You know, I really was talking to people, and we had done some shows on this Gerson diet thing, and we started accumulating all the stuff, waiting for all the movies to come in from Amazon and doing the research, my wife and I, and within 3 days, it totally changed. You know, you get the right nutrition, just, you know, and you're not exposing yourself to, you know, just garbage. I mean, we are so inundated by chemicals and altered foods. And so, and it just, of course, it gives you a sense of, you know, you need a purple pill. I mean, you know, so I'm going, you know, there's, I can tell my body. I was an athlete in high school and so on. And I know my body pretty well. And I'm telling you, there, I was under assault. And I'm going, you know, I'm just gonna take a break. You know, let's all the hamburgers. We'll take a break from that, and we'll take a break from this, and we'll start talking more on the show about the diet I'm doing. But I promised that I'd do it for a month, and then give some evaluation on what's going on. But I'm telling you, immediately it brought me back to my old self, and it wasn't for very long because I didn't let it fester. I'm just going no. You know, I don't want to have to fake being happy. I like being happy.
Right. Exactly. I hear you.
I want to get back to in the G20, when you talking about the LRAD, there was, now we had talked, I tell you, we did this show, and this kind of gives a background for this. There was an Air Force major that was in or one of the generals, and he was talking about we need to use these microwave weapons that they had already started deploying in Iraq in America for crowd control so that people would be used to them and not be so complaining and whining about them using them overseas. And we're like, really? I mean, he actually said that. So immediately, we're doing Charles Goyette's show. I was producing. Immediately, I get on the phone, call the Pentagon. And you know some people, you get the kind of background, and they got public relations or whatever, and you say the right words, they'll get you to somebody. So I get to a major, and she was the aide to the general. And I'm going, all right, let me ask you this. Can we get him to come on the radio or some representative to talk about this, what they said? Well, yeah, we can get you with somebody. So I got to another guy, and he scheduled it. They scheduled it for the next day. He was going to come up and talk about this. By the next day, they're wow. like, oh, no, 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 no. We so changed our mind. That became a big deal all around the country, and they decided we just better shut up. Because we're going, yeah, what are they doing? They wanted to be able to control people, and they knew the American people, they were going to make all kinds of ruckus about this, them doing this on the streets of Iraq. If they didn't, well, you know, if we got it, then... You know, of course we do it over there. They're doing it to us here. So you can, I guarantee right. you, you're going to see a proliferation of the use of this technology around the world with a little American flag on the arm of the guy that's doing it. And this is going,
oh, absolutely.
And there's two things. And that was the microwave one. That was the one where it, you know, produces the sensation of burning. And you know, if yes. they, and I tell you what, if the military's got something.
Ernie, they did have that there. They did have it there. We got video of the device. They didn't deploy it, though.
Well, you know, they had it at the RNC thing back in, heck, I think it was 04. You know, they have these things, and they want to use them. But that's not my concern. My concern is if they can, they will. I mean, you know, can they? You think they would? I don't know. Can they? Well, then they're going to. You know, because they love having toys that, you know, they can use. They don't like toys they can't use. So what happens is when they give you this burning sensation, you know, if they have one that can cause enough discomfort to control you, make you move, run away, whatever, you know, that thing, that's at a lower setting. They got dials in that. It'll go to 11. It'll go to 11, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Boom! Fry them! It'll be like a sci-fi movie. So, now, the one that you experienced was a sonic, right?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about it.
It started out with, the, you know, you had mentioned about the cops, you know, as they march forward. You've seen these types of actions. They march forward, you know. And
yeah, one foot at
staggered steps, and they
on their shields. Banging
right?
on their shields.
Well,
yeah.
And now, here's what's important. Here's what's important, really important to understand. There was a bit of a street battle taking place about three blocks behind us because the cops didn't let the anarchists get but two blocks from the march, from their meeting point, right?
Well,
the
anarchists got T-shirts or shiny badges. They know who they are or what?
Well, I don't know. But they got tear gas. They got broke up. They got boxed in. We were up two blocks up from that. And where we were, this is so important to point out, where we were, there were people protesting, all sorts of different types, grandmas, old people, young people, men, women, children, you name it, and a very small, I'm talking a handful of the anarchist types, came up to where we were. I got it on film of some kid throwing a rock at a school bus that the cops were using, I guess, to haul people away if it got too crazy. Cop car window got smashed. But you know what was amazing is these black clad kids were running right up to the cops, right through them. Not one of them got grabbed. Not one of them got either. The cops just stood there. They melted away. All that was left were peaceful protesters. And you know what, Ernie? It was far outweighed. The crowd was outweighed but with people like me, like independent media. There were camcorders and it was unbelievable the amount of indie media that was there. People with their camcorders out in the streets. Tons of people. This was a residential area. People coming out of their townhouses going, what is going on? That's when they pulled the LRAD out. after the anarchists had left, after, you know, there was maybe a couple hundred people. People, go watch the video. It's right there.
Yeah, see, this is the point that I'm making, Sam. I've been to these events, and these people are there. They're like... They're agent provocateurs. They're excuses to show a heavy hand. They're controlled in some way. They have a mission. And when you talk to them as individuals, they don't even really know what it is that they're really facilitating. They just know what their job is. Their job is to, you know, cause a ruckus. And, you know, I've seen this happen. This is more than once. There is something going on. And then you start to see, you know, pictures on the internet where you have them, you know, the officers got them down on the ground, their knee in their back, and it's a nice picture. And they're, and the guy they got on the ground and the cops are wearing the same kind of boots. They're the same guy with the same brand, the same style. You know, I'm just going, yeah, that's what I figured, you know. Yeah, no, we're in strange days indeed. We'll talk about when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Stop, because I'm having a good time, having a good time.
Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car, passing by like Lady Gaga.
Yeah, we're back here. Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock. And I'm gonna play a song here real quick. I was trying to get it to come up here. We're gonna work on this. I got this sent to me by a friend. I want you to hear this, Sam. And it's called "Everlast," the stone in my hand. Have you ever seen that?
Can't say that I have.
You know, it's some lyrics. We'll just start right in here. Let's see what happens here.
We kill our moms, kill our brothers and our sisters, and our uncles and our aunts. Still I'm fighting with the stones in my hand.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point is just, you know, if I'm just left with the stone that's in my hand, you know, and it has a lot of protests that are going on around the world, like, you know, you got Palestinians out there throwing rocks at, you know, tanks and stuff. But this is worldwide revolution of just people are in desperate situations that are, you know, where do I go? Who do I oppose? Where's it? It's that guy wearing a uniform of the M16 in an LRAD truck. That's the guy. You know, so I'm just, I see this coming. And I'm thinking it's being egged on a little bit, too. You know, a lot of these places it is. I'm really feeling there's something coming. And you and I play a very important role in making sure that people's perspective is really accurately shared. Because we represent a lot of people. I mean, we have people come down here and do a lot of activism. You know, we have the state fair coming up. We have the Freedom Summit. Oh, yeah, the Freedom Summit. We got Dr. Ron Paul, one of the main speakers. We got Thomas Woods, author of Meltdown. Charles Goyette's new book coming out. The 80th anniversary of the stock market crash, October 29th. It's coming out, The Dollar Meltdown. And I just started reading it, got halfway through the second chapter. And I'll tell you, that book rocks, you know, and he and I have done a lot of these shows. He was a talk show host. I was his producer, and I am very impressed because we had lived this. We had done these shows. We had Jim Rogers on every week, you know, so we knew this was coming. Peter Schiff, Dr. Paul, we knew this was coming. The Freedom Summit, we were telling all the people that attend, we're going, we know what's coming. Now it's happened. This year, what are we going to do? We're going to say, it's coming. It's here. We go, you know, now what? So we see all this stuff. You come up face to face with this. Now what, Sam? Now what?
Well, you know, you're hitting the question that I asked my wife when I came back. You know, Ernie, I sat on the edge of my bed. That I got home. You know, well, after the fracas there in Lawrenceville, we went downtown into the ghost town and saw, you know, Humvees with National Guard troops everywhere. We walked right up to the barricade. I interviewed we couldn't get to the G20 area. They had it blocked off. I interviewed a Border Patrol gentleman from Michigan who was standing outside a federal detention center that they had set up there for detainees. And he told us this. You know,
how many people did they arrest?
Huh?
How many people did they arrest?
I think that first night in Lawrenceville, that evening in Oakland, there was a fight with the anarchists and the cops. About 45 people, 50 people got arrested. The next day, there was the big People's March where thousands of people. We organized in Oakland, marched through the city, all the way to downtown, went up through to the Northside Park. That was peaceful. There was an overwhelming police presence there. That was unbelievable. That's where I was bullhorning the cops about who they work for. Who do you work for? Unmarked. And I actually had – I got to get into this before we get to the end because this is so important. And, you know, I'll answer your question about where do we go from here in a minute.
Please.
But, folks, you got to see this video. Go to republicmedia.tv. Click on the picture of me with the bullhorn. Scroll down the page and look for the video where we're asking, who do you work for, to the police. And I was very nice. It was very congenial. We simply asked the cops. I said, look, I'm curious. Who does your contingent work for? He shrugged. I said, what do you mean? You don't know where you're getting your marching orders from? And he says, we're all unified here today. I said, I understand that. But the cop standing next to you is from Pittsburgh. He's got his badge on. He's clearly marked. These guys over here, a huge contingent of Pennsylvania State Police, they're clearly marked. Miami-Dade County Police, clearly marked. Massachusetts Port Authority Police, clearly marked. Chicago Police, clearly marked. Your guys, heavily armored, heavily weaponized, waiting here along the parade route, for something to happen, no markings, no designation. I said, sir, who is giving you your jurisdictional authority to be here and to array against peaceful protesters in this manner? He looks me right in the eye and says, you don't need to know. And that's when I blew a gasket. And I grabbed Luke Krakowski's bullhorn. He said, you want the bullhorn? I said, yeah, I do. And I gave these guys, gave the whole platoon a nice little lecture about, number one, if indeed they are not working for some sort of private contractor, then they are police, whether they've been federalized, whether they're working for the state, whoever they are, because we don't know. They swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. That should be what they're doing there today, not being here to oppress us and take the rights away from us.
Well, maybe they
reminding them about that.
Maybe they didn't take the oath. You know, maybe they're just... they're just private Blackwater Z doing
whatever the heck they are now. Exactly. And I brought that up in the video. You got to see this video, folks. It's powerful stuff. These guys look them right in the eye and says, you don't need to know.
Well, tell them how they can get to see the video. You go to republicmedia.tv, and when it refreshes on there.
It's right on the top of the page. Can't miss it.
Right.
But you know, you say, where do you go from here, Ernie? What I saw, and there's also raw, an hour and a half of basically time-compressed video. You know, or you've been on these marches. I didn't keep the camera running the entire time, but we started in Oakland. We marched the whole way to downtown, through the downtown. You have to see the raw video of the march because the police presence that was downtown in Pittsburgh was it was unbelievable. Words can't describe it. Video can't describe it. You needed to be there surrounded by these cops, police. I use the word cops. I'm talking soldiers here, okay? It was unreal, so surreal. And get this, Ernie, as soon as we cross the bridge, as soon as we get past the bridge going into the north side, right, guess what? No cops on the parade route. They didn't care if we went up into the north side and ran, and the anarchists ran amok and went up into the village there and stormed on people's houses or burned things. No, they were there to protect the businesses downtown, period.
Well, it was to protect the attendees of the G20. That's what was going on.
Well, we were nowhere near. They wouldn't let us get anywhere near the G20.
You know,
you know what? Facing that, you know, being an educator, every day I wake up and I go into my high school where I teach and I wait for that day that I get that memo that comes across that says, you know, we're offering the swine flu shot here now, you know? And then a week later, oh, we noticed you didn't get your swine flu shot. We want to remind you that it's in the best interest of the children to get the swine flu shot. Then a week later, you got to get the swine flu shot.
Right.
And I know, you know, that's what I'm waiting for. And what a horrible way to live, to have that dark cloud hanging over you. And then to go to Pittsburgh to face these troops, men, young men and women, just like me, you know, who are moms and dads and brothers and sisters standing there in full-on battle gear, and they wanted it, Ernie. They wanted something to happen. I'm walking right up to these guys. You should have seen the battle stances that they were in, the steely. They're just waiting for somebody to step out of line, you know? And I'm sitting there, and I'm going, what is wrong with this picture? And then I think, you know, all of this talk about the potential for martial law, the potential for mass roundups, the potential for mass forced evacuations and vaccinations. You know, what I saw in Pittsburgh, they could pull it off. That city was taken over. There is no doubt about it. And what happened in Oakland that night was nothing short of an exercise in martial law. We had a video up on our website. I think it still might be there. A young man shot. After they went in there, they shot kids with rubber bullets. They tear gassed innocent kids who were having a concert out on the park, out on the lawn. They went into the dorm buildings, Ernie. They went into the dorm buildings. We had a video up there where one of the commanders is standing there addressing these kids, and he says to them, here's what's going to happen. You go outside, you get arrested. He says, think of it this way. It's just like the government declared martial law, but it didn't. He said that. So to me, an informed citizen who's been in this fight for a very long time, me standing there getting zapped by the LRAD, me standing there lecturing these troops on their constitutional duties or lack thereof, you know, I'm sitting there watching this video and I'm going, you know what's happening? That was the declaration that said, you know what? This was nothing more than a practice run, people.
No, I know. I definitely, when we get back, I want to make sure they're going to push the button, man. When we get back, I want to make sure that we get some of the actual effects of this weapon. And some people are making some comments on this show's thing already, telling us what's going on. We'll be right back.
And you think you're so strong, but there ain't no...
There you go, my bad.
Can't stop rocking, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, we're rocking. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. I'm going to take the right side of my right foot, put against the right side of your head, Mr. Man. There ain't nothing you can do about it. Because we're declaring our independence. Now, what does that mean? Well, you know, do we have to go do something? I mean, do I have to go, you know, down the street when you got your LRAD, you know, aimed at me? Do I got to? Or can I just go, let me see, declare my independence and, you know, I go camping and smoke a doob. Is that it? You know, is that how I declare my independence? Or do I just, I go somewhere else? Or I turn in all my Federal Reserve notes and I buy some golden guns. You know, what way do I do that? I get some chickens, a garden? How do I declare my independence? Tell you how you declare your independence. You get to be independent. I mean, you have to be non-dependent. Independence, you know, you're not dependent on something. And the only way you can do that is, the first thing is you do it between the ears. You have to come to realization first. All the other stuff kind of follows. So, you know, I just, tell me about the effect of this this sonic weapon.
Yeah, it hurt. It sounded, you know what it was basically, and you can hear it very clearly in the video.
Yeah, no, I've heard how it sounds there, but I wonder what effect it had.
It sounds like a car alarm, and it is so unbelievably loud. Words can't describe it. It's really quite intense. It kind of gives you a bit of a feeling of vertigo, sort of.
Were earplugs help?
Ernie, I mean, I don't know how to describe it.
What would earplugs help? I mean, if you put your hands over your ears, does that make a difference?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Well, I actually, if you see the video, I was holding my ears. I have a bum ear on my right side, so I was holding my good ear on my left side, and it was very effective against it. But as you said earlier, there's no doubt that thing goes up to 11, you know, in the rheostat scale. They did not have that full power. No way. But it was effective. It cleared the route. You know, yeah, from what I understand, it sends out that cone of high pressure sound at about a 30 degree cone. Mm-hmm. If it's dense, man, and they just aim it right at you, and boom. I
mean, well, what is your experience? And with this, I mean, being a teacher, I mean, how much can you tell me about on air about how this is stomping towards forced inoculations. I mean, being a first responder, this is what we're hearing here. Here in Arizona, they passed a law in 2002 while Janet Napolitano was governor, head of the Gestapo, and she was our governor. So imagine, you know, all the kinds of stuff that was done. Well, they passed a law here in 2002 saying that they have the power, in certain conditions, you know, when it's emergency declared by when we feel like it, that we're going to be able to force quarantine, force inoculate, force. Okay? So I'm going, okay. Sure. So we talked to the Phoenix police, their community services guy that we know, the public information officer. We talked to the Phoenix Police Union, and they were real adamant, except for one of them that I know better. He's like, yeah, you know, we're worried here on the line. But even the police union, we want you to be rest assured that they're not. This is the Wild Wild West. This is Arizona. We don't succumb to these kind of pressures. No, don't worry about it. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And I'm going, really? Me think he protests too much. I mean, it was really weird. So we went ahead last night and we started production of these signs. If you go to freedomsphoenix.com and you go to this today's archive show, you scroll to the bottom of that page of this particular headline, and you'll see the sign. And what it says is support first responders that say no to mandatory shots, and it has like a skull and crossbones with the, you know, syringes and so on. So it's very attractive. But the point that we're making with that is we're going to have to support the first responders, the teachers and the police and the nurses and the doctors and the firemen and all those people that get a government paycheck. That's what's going on. And you sit there and you say, look, we want to support you that say, no, I don't think we should do it. Heck, I don't want it. Because if we don't support them, after they get forced to take it, what's to stop them from forcing us to take it? So, you know, I mean, from a teacher, what kind of influence are they having or is amping up for you guys?
Well, it's we're not seeing it directly. I haven't seen anything direct other than some meetings at the school about it. And, you know, we're getting more and more information coming from the state as to the, you know, the typical stuff, you know, cough into your elbow and wash your hands all the time. And from what I understand, the first flu myth vaccine has come to Pennsylvania only yesterday. So we haven't seen anything really other than what I just said.
You know, one of my friends, he goes like this about it. They were talking on the show today. I think Andrew said, somebody said something about it. He heard it on the show when they did this morning. They're saying when they did the nose sprayer things, that's making it airborne, you morons.
You know? Yeah. So I'm going, yeah, I read about that, too.
You know, it's so comical. Yeah, it is to laugh. But it's dangerous, and we need to understand.
Exactly.
Well, it's not, I mean, I'm not worried about the virus as much as I'm worried about the cure, you know, that they're touting. I'm worried about the force behind it, because we've seen this before. We get scared into war. We get scared into, you know, homeland security. We get scared into giving up more of our liberty and money. We get scared in, and I think the people are just not really that scared anymore. I mean, we get it, man. You know, I remember John Stewart did Daily Show. He had a segment to where it had Fox News intro into one of their news things, and it's the jets going by and the bombs going off and the graphics spinning and loud music and doing it gets up, and then finally it goes to him and he's sitting there wide-eyed and scared looking at the camera going, oh my God, man, I'm so scared. And I'm going, that's exactly the way to take this. They're just amping it up. It's so ridiculous, but it has an effect on some people.
Well, it has an effect on a lot of people. And what's the thing is, Ernie, as you said it earlier, you know, you can feel it. The guys and people that have been in this for a long time, for the longest time, it's coming. Well, now it's here. And you know, I was telling you about my effects and how it hit me after the G20 to see that. And I looked at my wife, man, and I was shaking hard. I didn't get to bed until late, or early 6 o'clock Sunday morning when I got home. And I said, you know, it's no longer a hypothesis. It's no longer it's coming. It's here. And I think you're right. And when you say that something big is about to happen, I don't know. It could be anything. It could be any number of things. But you know, the mechanism of control is the fear. They won't need to do martial law across the country in order to get the populace subjugated. All it's going to take is something like what you saw in Pittsburgh, some type of crackdown in one major American city, and people are going to freak out, and they're going to be starting to, you know, if they're uneducated about this and they let their fear rule them, they will be lining up to take those godforsaken shots.
And you know, I'm thinking...
And it's all conditioning. It's all conditioning, Ernie. Maybe there's nothing wrong with the shots. We don't, you know, who knows what's really going to happen, but what's going to happen next then?
Well, you know, it's always like the TSA. It's like you go into the airport and you got six-year-old kids, you know, getting anal probes. You know, seriously, I hate flying. I hate it now. I hate it. I hate the indignity. I hate the crap. You know, you go through and you got, oh, you got to take that off. Today, I had to go to, you know, court on a boat ticket. I finally got that all taken care of. And I just, oh, man, anyway, that's a good story I'll tell later. But so everything worked out all right. But what happened was I had my cell phone and I have a BlackBerry and I got the carrier that goes on my belt. So I take the cell phone out, put in the little thing along with all my metal stuff and put it in. And he goes, your holder there, you know, it has metal in it. I said, oh, it's plastic. I put your holder in the thing. I'm like, whoa, man. You know, and I don't like taking it off because it's a pain in the butt to get off your belt. But I'm just like going, I'm like, seriously? You know, I look at him, I just reach out my hand and just let it drop. You know, I'm just like, that was so unnecessary. You know, but that's how these guys are. And this is going to happen. It's going to expand. And what's interesting, one time my wife and I were traveling the summer before, and it was very sad. And I remember when she and I were young and just starting to have children, and we had, small children about 2-3 years old like these people did. And I saw ourselves there. And they had these two kids, one little boy and one little girl. And the TSA guy is standing there as they're putting all their shoes and stuff in the little bins to go through the scanner. Oh, now we take our shoes off and we put it in here. Now we go, oh, say hi to the nice man. Oh, put your arms out. Oh, we get it. Oh, yeah. It's like a game. It's like it's okay. They're going to grow up 15 years from now. They're going to be, this is normal. This is normal. This is how you act. This is we're
Absolutely.
In a police state. And I'm going, of course, they're indoctrinating us. It's just mind control.
It really is. And it's so insidious. Ernie, it has reached into every facet of our society, you know?
Well, hey, Sam, I'm glad that you went, man. I'm glad you gave us a perspective on what was going on there and what we can expect here. And it gives us some time as individuals to think about what we might do. You want to declare your independence? Let me tell you what you do first. You got to be independent, which means not be dependent. You know, how can you declare your independence if you're dependent on a system? You're dependent on a currency. You're dependent on a food chain. You're dependent on your entertainment. You're dependent on your information. You're dependent on everything. Quit being dependent on everything and declare your independence and tune in here every afternoon on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and thanks to Sam Ataro for being the man. RepublicMedia.tv. We'll see you tomorrow on the radio. Thanks, Sam.